Garrett's Games and Geekiness, episode 60 for Sunday, March 25th, 2007. Welcome to the 60th episode of Garrett's Games and Geekiness. My name is Doug Garrett, coming to you from Mountain View, California. And on this episode, I sit down with Chris Ross and Susan McKinley Ross, the designer of the game Quirkle. Susan, Chris, Shelley, and I talk a little bit about the game design, talk about some of the things that Susan has put into production, and you can look at those at her website at ideaduck.com. And stay tuned at the end, because I also talk a little bit about the contest that we are currently running associated with your homework. Oh, and by the way, we jump right into a discussion of Canal Mania, because we had just played it. So that's my grumbling and mumbling going on right there.
Is that good?
Maybe. Let's see.
Got to okay, make sure. Yeah, she's the one who has to always have the volume.
Yes, that's
she's
good.
Always like, oh, God, it's too loud. I can't believe you beat me by 1 point in Canal Mania.
That was a great game.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
There were so many ties. The ties were very cool.
Oh, just painful. Painful. Ugh. Ah, brutal.
You see, that's why I wanted to play the game.
Yeah.
He said, what game do you want to play?
Yeah, to ask her last night.
And I said, I'd like to play Canal Mania. That was the reason why I picked that.
I see. So this week, while I was doing press, you were out here. You know, you had the
studying
Canal Mania board studying it.
How can I mess with Doug?
How can I make it look like Doug's going to win when he's ahead by 10 points? Then come back and kill him.
We were pretty close, thank but you were always slightly ahead.
I was ahead by 10 points at
I
one
think,
point.
Though, if you are really slightly close, that person who is just behind probably has an advantage.
Yeah.
Especially if the cubes are there.
Grr, grr, grr. Still fuming about my loss.
That was the only thing I did right.
Oh, make it so that I lost? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, Chris? All right. Welcome, Chris Ross and Susan McKinley Ross, to Garrett's Games and Geekiness. It's great to have you on board here.
Thank
glad
you.
Glad you drove all the way down from Petaluma today.
Cool.
It was a nice day, though. Yeah. I mean, unlike back on the East Coast where they're experiencing blizzard conditions, we're in the nice 60s and 70s here. It's very nice.
It's
sorry, guys, back on the East Coast. I apologize for that. But now we're down here, of course, to play games. But specifically, now, Susan, you have designed a game, this game Quirkle, which I first heard about from Scott Alden. I guess, Chris, I don't know if you sent him a copy for a BGG con.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, and so that very cool, because he was raving about it. And so that was the first time I heard about it, and other people had played it. But this is a very cool game.
Yeah,
and
it's really good.
The only thing that I think that I think it is wonderfully produced, but Mindware has done you a disservice, Susan, in that they did not put your name on the box.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay, you know, but because it is an amazingly produced game with all of this wood and everything nice.
Very
so
beautiful.
Tell us a little bit about how Quirkle got to be in this box and out on the shelves and everything like that. Where did you come up with the idea?
I actually had it in a dream, and
wow.
Hey, cool.
Somebody,
that's cool.
W. Eric Martin wrote a review yesterday where he said that it seemed like Quirkle was in the collective unconscious, because it's and I started laughing when I read that, because I actually woke up in the morning and I'd been watching friends play Scrabble the day before. We have game night once a month.
Okay.
And Scrabble doesn't get played very often, and they were two good players, and I was watching them and I was like, wow, I really like it when you score two words at once.
Sure.
That's
sure.
My favorite part of Scrabble, and mm-hmm. they were really good at it. Mm. It's like, wow, I like that, but I don't want to memorize all the two-letter words.
Yeah, right.
That's
definitely
just not how I want to play. And I woke up, I don't know if it was the next morning or a couple mornings mm-hmm. later, and I just had this vision of this board with colors and shapes, and mm-hmm. I'm a toy designer. That's my normal job.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Wow.
So I'm lucky. I popped out of bed, and I said, okay, I'm going to go design this. And I printed out the first sheets on the computer that morning and cut them up into little pieces and started playing just against myself. And I was like, this seems like it has something. And then from there, we did lots of play testing, and mm-hmm. the prototypes went on and on and on.
Wait, so you play with toys for a living?
I don't play with toys for a living. I make toys for a living. It's work. It's hard.
Oh,
work.
Yes. That's very cool. All right. So, why don't you explain just a little bit of how the game works? You have colors, and it's six colors, right?
Six colors,
and
six shapes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's been about a month since I've played, and explain a little bit of how or why it works, why Scrabble becomes Quirkle in a way. How does it? Yeah.
For people who play Scrabble, they can see it really clearly. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, there's an orange circle. It's orange, and mm-hmm. it's a circle, and you have a line of colors and a line of shape. So it can be played in a line of circles, mm-hmm. or it can be played in a line of orange.
Right.
And there's six of these colors and six of these shapes, and you have a hand of six tiles that only you can see, and the tiles you play from your hand to the board need to share one characteristic. Either they're the same color or they're the same shape.
Sure.
And then you add them to what's already out there.
Right.
And you score, like if there's a line of three circles and you add your orange circle, you get 4 points.
And there can't be any other orange circle in that line.
Exactly.
Right?
There can only be one. And I was demoing at a toy store, and this little girl was watching me, and I was explaining it, and she said, "It's like Sudoku. You can only have one." And that hadn't ever crossed my mind. And
I said,
what a good way of explaining it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can
yeah.
only one in each. Huh. And if you complete a line of six, so you place the last circle,
right.
you get six bonus points for that.
Which you never want to set the person to your left up to do.
You right. never want to set anybody up to do. And that's actually, we call it a Quirkle.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We hadn't figured that out. I hadn't figured it out when I wrote the instructions. But as soon as I got the final copy and started playing, it was just obvious
right.
that this, that's a Quirkle. You know, so, you left me a Quirkle. Or Quirkle, we say when we play the last piece.
Ah, very nice, very nice. And now, where did the name itself come up with? How did you come up with the name?
Chris is laughing. I submitted it under another name.
Okay.
And my publisher was fantastic in every way. And they came up with Quirkle. I have to give them full credit for it. And they were voting between Quirkle and then the other name I had, which was Abstrakle. Mm. And they took a vote, and it came out even, but they noticed parents liked Quirkle better.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. So quirky.
Yeah. And it's such a fun name. I love it. So they went with that.
And by the way, it's Q-W-I-R-K-L-E.
Right.
So. Yeah. And it was interesting when I first started playtesting the game, mm-hmm. I would tell people, I have this game. I want you to playtest it. And the very first question was, what's it called?
Sure.
Right.
And I didn't care at all what the name was. I was like, who cares what the name is? Just play it with me. And everybody, that was the first question. And I realized what an impact that has on people. So we had a brainstorming session, and someone else came up with Abstrakle and said I could use it. And I did. And then Mindware came up with Quirkle. So.
Very cool. Now, when you were playtesting it, I assume that you said that you cut it out and just had it on paper here. Mm-hmm. What led it to, and when Mindware put it out, what led to these nice, and it's really beautiful in terms of the big, you know, square chunky blocks, and there are tons of them in here. You know, each piece is on this wonderful black painted within the design on it, and it just looks really nice on the table. How did it get to that point?
Well, I started with the paper one just because, as a toy designer, I know when you're hit with that burst of enthusiasm for an idea,
sure.
you want to get to it right away
yeah.
and see what's coming along with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to waste a lot of time on the prettiness of the prototype at that point.
Sure.
You just want to see what's going to happen.
Does it work, right?
Yeah, so that's why the first one was paper. I did two more after that were very thin wooden tiles, more like...
Mm.
They were thinner than Scrabble tiles and bigger,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
more like that. And Chris was actually the one who said, you know, these should be domino size.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And since I specialize in wooden toys, it was no problem to make domino sized blocks.
Okay.
And then I printed stickers of the shapes on them and painted them. So the prototype I sent to Mindware was exactly what I got back. Except theirs is nicer and glossier because they didn't have to use stickers.
Sure. Yeah.
But... I sent it to them, and when I got the first copy of Quirkle, I was like, this is exactly, this is what I sent off, and here it is. So
it's nice when
so
it's fully
exciting.
Realized like that.
It is. Such
joy. Now, is this your first game?
I've done some slight games. Uh-huh. They've basically been games that have been pasted on to toys.
I see.
I have a product called Rockin' Robots, and you stack robots on a UFO, and whenever the robots fall off, you know, whoever makes the robots fall off loses. It's just neat how the robots stack.
Sure.
And it ended up, they said, well, we can sell this better if it's also a game. So I wrote rules and made it a game. But this is the first one that's really, truly, fully just a game.
Nice. Yeah. Now, it sounds like, and with Mindware as the company, that you're getting into kind of different avenues than, say, some of the hobby games that are, you know, the games that we're used to talking about here. Where are you finding that this is, what are some of those unusual or more unusual avenues that you're finding Quirkle winding up?
It's interesting. We've had game night for a very long time.
Sure.
And we're hobby gamers, and you know, my personal favorite game is Puerto Rico, and I can't help it. I love it. And that's more the kind of game we play.
Mm-hmm.
But I had approached Mindware about doing product development for them, and I didn't know it would be a game, but that's, they do sell a lot of games. And when Quirkle came to me, and as I worked through it, it just seemed like such a good match for them.
Sure.
That it didn't even really cross my mind to take it to another game publisher because I didn't have an in or didn't know who to present it to. And
yeah,
and it's the right age range for Mindware and the right, they're brainy toys for brainy kids. And
right. Yeah.
So it seemed, you know, a good match for them. And there, it's just, it's done really well for them. It's gone into markets that they're not used to going into. And I can walk into my local toy store and it's there. And
wow. That's great.
That's so exciting. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you finding that it's going into places like toy stores and children's bookstores and stuff like that? I mean, because I could see that that might be, you know, an alternative outlet. I don't know where Mindware finds itself and how, what fingers it has out there.
Yeah. But. Well, Mindware's done really well with it. It's only been out since October.
Mm-hmm.
And educational toy markets, They're a catalog. They have a really unique business plan. Uh-huh. So they're a catalog, but they also sell to specialty toy stores.
I see. Okay.
So that's where they've been before. But but Quirkle's going into new places for them also.
That's excellent.
It's on Amazon now.
Cool.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. It hasn't made it onto Fun Again Games, but, you know, well, someday.
Yeah, there you go.
About like Learning Express, those type of.
It hasn't made it there, but there's several toy catalogs that are considering it. And there's not the specialty toy store chains that there used to be, like Zany Brainy, or I think Learning Express is probably the biggest one that's left.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think so.
But you know what's so great about the game is it's not just for children. I mean, it's definitely an adult game as well.
Oh yeah.
I mean, because there's a huge range for people who would, you know, if you like Ingenious and Set, you'll just eat this game up because, you know, there's
And Scrabble. It appeals to the Scrabble
players. And, you know, and also maybe even people who like crossword puzzles because, you know, the way the pieces actually get the shape at the end is very crossword puzzle-ish.
Yeah.
But it's so fun. I mean, if you just think Set and you love Ingenious, I mean, this is the game that you need to have because it's very similar feel.
Yeah.
You're using, at least for me, maybe a the same part of my brain is being used to do that game as compared to, you know, to do Quirkle as compared to those other games.
Had you played Ingenious before you?
I didn't. And
interesting.
I love his games.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually bought our copy of Ingenious about a...
We were on vacation.
Yeah, when we were on vacation after Quirkle came out. And we just really played our first game last week at game night.
Yeah, I didn't play, but you and a bunch of other people did, right?
Yeah. And I loved it. I had a great time. Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly not the same game in any way, shape, or form because, you know, the formations are different and you've got a set board and everything like that. The neat thing about yours is you can go anywhere on the board with the way it plays out because you're just placing the blocks, and then how that forms is going to be different every time.
Exactly.
I love the comparisons to Set because Set makes my brain hurt.
It hurts my brain too.
It's like there's some muscle that doesn't get used except when I'm playing
agree.
Set.
Yeah. I agree.
Set is an interesting game because I think that kids do better at it almost always in comparison to adults.
Interesting.
You know, you play with third graders and they're like, aha, aha. And you're like, what the heck is going on?
Don't do it that fast. I feel really lame.
I think it used to be one of our standard fillers, but we had a friend who always won.
Completely
and so I think
dominated.
We just stopped putting it in the mix.
Understandable. Understandable. Yeah. Well, let's get beyond this quirkle and talk a little bit. You mentioned Puerto Rico as your favorite game here. And you have a game night once a month. And how long have you guys been doing that?
We just celebrated our 100th game night. In,
wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wow. We've done it once a month, and we had our celebration in November. And
very nice.
It was really exciting. We had about 33 people show up for that.
Wow.
And it was quite a party. We had champagne, which was unusual.
Wow.
And we are so blessed in the people who come to game night. They got us games as a gift, and they gave us a gift certificate, and they've done that for a couple other anniversaries, and we're just like, wow, that's so sweet.
That's excellent. So, Chris, how about you? What if you had to put your finger on your favorite game, what would it be?
It's Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
My second favorite, just to mix it up a little, is Raw.
Okay.
We really like playing Raw.
Right,
so just the auction mechanic, and it just balances out well and easy to teach. So.
It is very easy to teach. I'm horrible at auctions, as I've said more than once on this podcast. And Shelley loves them. That there's the evil laugh that always happens when I say that. Thank you very much.
I like
auctions. So when we've talked about this a couple of times on the past few episodes, just in the last month, since you guys run a game night every month, what are some things that you do to help facilitate the running of your game night?
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Hopefully. I guess everyone who's going to game night is listening to this too. So. So we organize it over the years, and we just normally it just started as a bunch of friends from work.
Sure.
And we just, people want to come, they just email us, and we
so is it an email mailing list?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just run that, and I have a little website, and I say this is the next game night. I send out an email.
Okay.
Usually about 2 weeks in advance, so everyone knows.
All right.
Once a month. So we always do Saturday night.
Just in the evening?
Yep.
Okay. So you can probably get in, what, 3 or 4 games over the course of the
evening? Well, there's usually, per person. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And is it 30 some odd people every time?
No. So it goes from six to,
sure.
Six to, I guess that was just because everyone who hadn't come in a while came. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, now, do you do food, or does everybody bring something, or is it post-dinner? How do you organize that bit?
It's a combination. We provide snacks and drinks.
Okay.
But most people bring something, which is great because that really helps.
Yes.
And then we do a pizza order.
Oh,
and
there you go.
Most people get an individual pizza and they pay for it. And it's just because not everybody has time to eat. We certainly don't have time to eat before game night.
Right.
Yeah.
Because game night's really just a once a month excuse to clean our house.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
We know exactly what you mean there.
The alarm went off at 7:30 to finish cleaning for today. Yes, we know that. Yes.
I know. You're starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, was amazed.
We used to start a little bit later in the afternoon, and
two.
Then
at yeah,
1 o'clock, and then we go to midnight. And sometimes we still go to midnight, but we started at 10, and I don't know why did that shift happen.
Well, this allows for a lot of people who,
maybe
you have babysitting issues or you have other issues, and you can come for just a couple hours.
Yeah,
and it allows more flexibility for people to come for a short time.
Right,
and also, we just started doing that early. I think the first time you did it, you said, let's do it early and be done early.
Yeah. And
so we were done before dinner.
Did that actually happen? Oh, you guys
stopped. It's happened a couple of times, yeah.
But then we didn't.
And it's just a matter of how people.
Some people stay, and then we went out to dinner, continued just, having fun.
Yeah, we've
and
done
then,
that before.
And then come back and play more games.
Yeah. And
so that worked out really
last time was
too.
Really nice. We, there were about 8 of us left at the end, and we went out to a local Mexican place, came back and played a game or two, So it's kind of nice to do this. And we have some very generous people with their food. So lunch is covered with everybody's stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of nickels.
But, okay. Well, how did you guys, I mean, you've done this for 100 once a month. That's a long time.
We skipped two?
We skipped two around the wedding. I put my foot down. I said, we don't have